How about that? We are ready for Ghost to Ghost. It's our tradition. Started with Art Bell a long, long time ago, and we just keep the tradition going. And what we do, of course, with Ghost to Ghost is we take your ghost stories because you become part of the program. And as you know, over the last month or so, we've been asking for some of those ghost stories, and Tom has gotten back to some of you who will be on the air with us tonight as well. But the rest of you, of course, who have not been called, make the phone call and get on the program. And by the way, those were emerging artists Erica Davidson and Brittany Walton, who did a great job with that opening song, to be sure. Let me give you the phone numbers so we can get started here. West of the Rockies, 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. Our first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. And you can, if you want as well, call our international line at 1-800-893-0903. So we will be back in a moment and begin Ghost to Ghost. And plus, we'll have a special guest in this segment, Mr. Lobo, the horror movie expert. He's going to join us and pop in with some of his stories as well on Ghost to Ghost.
For Coast to Coast, this is Bill Mumy here, and my favorite Halloween costume when I was a kid was a Superman costume. But my scariest Halloween costume when I was a kid was Anthony Fremont's wardrobe from the It's a Good Life Twilight Zone episode. And you better think good thoughts about that, or else you'll end up in the cornfield this Halloween. Wishing you the scariest of Halloweens.
Ha-ha, Billy Mumy, the actor, he did some great work as that kid in a couple Twilight Zone episodes and then went on to do some other great Hollywood performances. Billy Mumy, great guy. Great guy indeed. Thanks, Billy, for joining the Ghost to Ghost team. And let's begin with our Ghost to Ghost stories. Now, with these stories, what I want from you, of course, are things that you have witnessed, things that you've heard about, stories you've been told, and share them with us, but just knock our socks off with these stories. Let's go to John in Pennsylvania to get us going with the program. Hey, John, welcome to Ghost to Ghost.
Hi, how are you, George?
Wonderful. I hope you are, too.
Should I start?
Yes. Tell us what you got.
Okay. It all began one afternoon with the smell of garlic and the musty mothballs of an old woman's coat. I thought little of it as I left my front door, but did muse to myself, so an old woman is guarding the house now. I had heard that an elderly lady had died in the small bedroom that was to be my daughter's, but tried not to dwell on such thoughts. My house was pleasant enough, but soon after, my own wife died, and strange things began to happen. Her father died several months thereafter, and one day, my 12-year-old son and I both saw him sitting in the chair he would sit in the living room when he had visited our house. The same day, in the back of that same room, we saw what looked like a little gnome-like man behind one of the end tables of the sofa. We both saw him square on, and he disappeared as quickly as he appeared. He was dressed in what seemed like green velvet and sported a brimmed hat with a red feather in it. We never discussed this between ourselves until much later. I thought that our grief was making us conjure up these visions. 2 years later, I remarried, and my new wife came to live in my house. We redecorated the house, changed the colors of the paint in all the rooms, and acquired different furniture. One evening, as we were sitting next to each other in the dining room, a distinct smell of something sweet akin to pipe tobacco filled our nostrils. We both felt a hand brush across our knees, she first, then I. After this, the real weirdness began. Every night, we would hear footsteps on the stairs outside our bedroom when there was no one there. Before we would go to sleep, we would look at the darkened ceiling corners and both observe the dance of eerie lights moving from the left corner of the ceiling to the right and skirting on the wall above our bed. I called a priest and he came and blessed all the rooms of the house, sprinkling all the corners of every room, including the basement, with holy water. I was never afraid to tell people of our travails. In fact, I have had other paranormal experiences, and because I am fairly certain I am of sound mind, I care not if anybody would think I'm not. The people that chose to believe me would always ask how I remained in my house during all this, to which I would always retort, "It's my house. Where am I going to go?" Not long after what I call the dark night of the soul occurred, the sounds on the stairs grew louder and unremitting, the lights flickered simultaneously, and my son, who had never witnessed any of all of this, awakened, visibly frightened. We brought him into our room where he fell asleep at the foot of the bed, but only after we locked the bedroom door and kept the light on all night.
Wow.
The next day I was washing dishes during the afternoon. I was standing in front of the kitchen sink when it happened. A feeling came over me that whatever it was that had been in that house had vanished. The feeling was so palpable, I remember it to this day. We moved from the house several years later. No further incidences occurred. But I thought it strange that the new owner changed all the carpeting, which was still fairly new, replacing the pretty mauve carpet with ugly brown shag rug. Oh, well, there's no accounting for taste.
I love this.
That's my story.
That's a story you'll never forget, John, ever.
I guess not.
What do people say when they hear this story now that you freely tell them about it?
It depends on who hears it. You know, some people just dismiss it as that it was, you know, maybe my grief that had made these visions and sounds.
Yeah.
And other people, a lot of people that I talk to are kindred spirits, and they believe in this kind of thing, and they believe it's possible, and I do. I really don't dwell on it to talk about it. It happened many, many years ago, you know, but I've had no further experiences in that respect since then.
That's great. John, thanks for being on the Ghost to Ghost, part of our Coast to Coast program. I love that. Mark in West Park, Florida. Hey, Mark, it's your turn. Hi there.
How are you guys tonight?
We are
next,
great.
Will it be Next Stop? I love that one. And Billy Mooney was in like four, I think.
At least.
With Jack Klugman when he was a soldier in Vietnam, and Jack Klugman was like a thug, and he trades his death for his son's death. It's so cool. But anyway, I love Billy Mooney. First of all, do they have to be scary ghosts?
No, no, not at all.
Mine's shorter than that. I was really enjoying that, gentlemen. Mine's less. What happened was my dad had just died, and I was grieving really hard. My mom lasted about one year in the house, and then she moved in with my sister. No, I'm sorry, a church lady, and then now she lives with my sister.
Uh-huh.
And I still stayed a year past. Well, it's very lonely, and I was missing my dad. I still stayed in the house. You know, I didn't want to leave, and taking care of stuff anyway. Well, one time I really misplaced my glasses. Now, my dad had a TV, and it was in our Florida room, which people know who live in Florida. It's what the southern breeze comes through. It's kind of like a family room. We call it the Florida room. And but I didn't have the windows open, George. I had the AC on, and the big AC was well above the TV. There's no way what I'm about to tell you was not any wind from the AC. There was no fans on. I'm looking everywhere for my glasses, and I just forget where I put them. So I'm adjusting the TV. I'm getting frustrated because I need my glasses to see the TV. And George and Tommy, I swear to you, the glasses flew off the TV, and not in a harsh way, and hit me in my forehead, or hit me like on the bridge of my nose, and landed in my hands. And I tried,
Whoa.
You can imagine this, I tried 10 minutes to simulate that, just to see if some kind of wind or a gust, or like, I said, thanks, Dad, because I know it'd be like my dad to say, hey, dummy, you left them there, they're on the TV, just look there. And I never, ever, when I would misplace my glasses, the first place I'd look would be on top of that television, which, like I said, which is about like a head high. It was, but not as high as the AC. It was not a fan. The windows were closed because I had the AC on. It was not anybody can say what they want. I think it was my dad. And, you know, we call ghosts, on the bad spectrum, we might say they're demons. Oh, it's a demonic thing. On a good spectrum, we might think it's somehow the spirit or soul or the spirit soul of a loved one, which I choose to believe that. Not that they can stick around forever. Maybe they can visit, whatever, if you're a Christian. I don't know how that factors in, you know, whatever. But I think it was my dad because I tried, I even tried to push him with my hand. They did not slide on the TV. The TV was too level. There's no way. I just think it was that. That's all I'm going to say. That was my little tiny paranormal. It was endearing. I was not scared. It was endearing.
That's a great story.
I loved it. So now I'm going to just say that Tommy has really given us these awesome bumper songs. I think they should be compiled somehow, some way. I have extensive collections of haunted house noises like that they sell. One I just heard you guys play. One's from Disney a long time ago, maybe the Annette Funicello days, like, I mean, a black and white album cover. I have, like, collectible ones. And I'm telling you, he's digging up some good ones. And they're not name brand. They should be. These people should be stars. I mean, people love this stuff when you have a Halloween party. It's a great soundtrack. So I'm going to leave you with my 14-second poem, and here's how it goes. This is my Halloween poem. And keep in mind, I'm very tired. I just composed it now. I'm trick-or-treated out. I'm partied out. But this weekend's going to be more.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to say, I'm loving ghost to ghost because I enjoy coast to coast. So I will toast this boast that George and Tommy are the most. Thank you. I'm West Park Mark, and I approve this message.
Mark, great job, and have a great Halloween. Super. Mr. Lobo, of course, is our great haunted host of the late-night program Cinema Insomnia, which has been a cult sensation for a bazillion years. He is the ultimate horror host, the regular guest on Coast to Coast as well. And Mr. Lobo, always a pleasure.
Oh, yes. This is a voice from beyond, George. It is always, always wonderful to be on the program.
How are you celebrating Halloween these days?
Well, you know, I had an extremely busy October. It was totally brutal. we had so many things going on. And, I mean, appearance after appearance. I mean, I did two shows at a drive-in. I did a comic book store. I did. We did Monster Bash. I won the Forey Award.
Oh, good for you!
Forey Ackerman Award. Monster Bash. I went to West Virginia. Excuse me, Virginia. Did Monster Fest in Virginia. I was presented with a giant poster of myself that had been hanging in a video store for 16 years in Virginia, and then finally tonight we had a big party We were almost rained out, but the rain cleared up long enough to do this big party. And then there were even kids coming to the door trick-or-treating. And you know, some of them recognized me as Mr. Lobo. Some of them just thought I was another old guy making them say please and thank you.
My friend used to own the Forrest Ackerman House in Hollywood.
Oh, wow. The Acker Mansion.
Yep. He sold it a couple years ago.
Tens of thousands of books and tens of thousands of posters and, you know, props from Metropolis and all. It's just incredible. The Acker Mansion was incredible.
What is your most memorable Halloween?
My most memorable Halloween? That's a good question. Boy, you know, I think the most memorable Halloween for me is there was one time where I got a candy that had not a razor blade, but a like the tip of a X-Acto knife in it. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it was like a...
There were a lot of sickos in those days doing these things. I hope
they're
not doing
it now. I know they always say
now.
that never happened, but I do remember...
It does happen. You didn't chop down on the candy, did you?
No, I didn't. My mom always screened everything really good.
No, mine did, too.
But it was really scary because it was just like there was something jammed in there, and that was like I never questioned Mom after that. But it was pretty creepy, and to think that someone would be that sinister, that really bothered me as a kid. It really bothered me.
I always tell parents, look at your candy and check it out first.
Absolutely.
Worst Halloween gift I got in the bag, a penny.
I always hate when you get, like, I never like the popcorn balls or apples.
Or apples, yeah.
Any of that stuff, yeah. I liked Three Musketeers. I liked O. Henry. Do you remember O. Henry, the candy bar?
Oh, I sure do. Those were great. My greatest memory of Halloween, Mr. Lobo, was my mother would take us out when I was about 10. She didn't want us going out at night by ourselves. And, you know, typical great mother. And she would take us door to door, me and my sisters, and we would go door to door. And so it was this nighttime, and I was dressed up as a pirate, I think, this time. And I had that look and the makeup on and all that. And anyways, I'm up on the porch, trick-or-treat, and, you know, a whole bunch of other kids are up there, too. And all of a sudden, I turn around, you know, to go back to with Mom to the next house. She's nowhere to be found.
Oh, no.
I don't know where she is. And I'm, you know, I'm 10 years old. I'm scared to death. It's my neighborhood, but it's dark out. I'm alone. And I'm looking for my mom, and I can't see her. I notice her a couple houses down holding the hand of another pirate kid. She thought it was me.
Oh, wow. She's taking some other kid at home.
That is amazing. Anyways, thanks for spending our Halloween with us, Mr. Lobo. Enjoy the rest of the night, okay?
Oh, okay. Happy Halloween to you.
You too, my friend.
I'm really enjoying all these fantastic ghost stories. It's definitely keeping me chilled on a chilly night.
Give us a little happy haunting salute.
All Hallows' Eve, the wind shrieks in the trees. Children laugh and pumpkins grin, and the unmistakable surge of evil is felt as darkness falls.
I love it. That's Mr. Lobo, folks. Next up, let's go to Debbie in Lancaster, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's my first time, actually.
Oh, really? What do you have for us?
Okay, well, I used to work as a nurse massage therapist, so I'm retired right now.
Okay.
And one day I was bent over, massaging, let's call her Dolly's neck, and it felt like someone blew on my cheek, like, you know?
Yeah.
So immediately I looked, and I see this man standing there with a plaid flannel shirt and khaki pants, but I could see through him, so I knew he didn't walk in the door. And I went, oh, God, no, I'm going crazy again. So I tried ignoring it, and my eyesight started tunneling, and I started feeling like I was losing consciousness, so I thought, I got to do something. So I said, Dolly, I forgot something. When I looked at the man, he said, that's my daughter. And that's why I thought, okay, I'm crazy, right? So I said, okay, Dolly, is your dad still alive? And she said, oh, no, he passed about a year ago. I said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to say something to you. You can get up off the table. You never have to come back to me again. You know, it's okay, whatever way you feel. She said, what? I said, say hi to your father. She says, is he here? And I said, well, there's somebody standing here in khaki pants and a plaid shirt. And she goes, oh, my God, that's all he ever wore.
Oh.
And immediately I got the message. I am so glad you're taking care of yourself. And when I told her that, she goes, oh, my God. I was with him when he died, and that's the last thing he
said. Wow.
Take care of yourself.
That is amazing, Deb.
Debbie, this is the first thing I'm doing. So after that, I got known in the doctor's office as, Debbie, do you think you could do this massage without talking to dead people?
Yeah, it's Debbie the medium all of a sudden.
Well, it's been going on throughout my life.
Does it still happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I live behind a cemetery now, so I get visitations often.
Oh, my God. And nothing scares you?
Some of it does, yeah. There's some angry that, you know, I don't want to be bothered with, so I'll get off.
You mean they've passed on? The angry ones have passed on and they come back?
Yeah.
And they're a little bitter, aren't they?
It's like a fearful anger. You know when you get scared but you can't do anything about it and it turns to anger?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
All right, great. Thanks, Debbie. Great stories, super stories. We're going to continue all night long with ghost-to-ghost stories. A couple more surprise guests throughout the evening, of course, one each hour. So we'll have another next hour and another the last hour. But your calls are, of course, the most important. And they don't have to be all spooky and scary. They can be enlightening and fun as well. You truck drivers, if you've ever seen anything strange, ghostly while you're driving, definitely share that. Remember that Twilight Zone episode, Going My Way, about that hitchhiker? That was spooky, too. Back with more on Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast and Ghost to Ghost. Next hour, the mistress of the macabre, Karen Dahlman, joins us, along with your great calls. And the fourth hour, we'll have another secret guest for you.
I remember my favorite Halloween candy when I was a kid was caramel apples, although I will admit it was very hard to pick just one favorite. I could never turn down a little candy corn, and I just absolutely loved anything chocolate. This is your reporter, Cheryl Jones, wishing everyone a happy ghost-to-ghost Halloween.
That's our new addition to Coast to Coast, by the way. Investigative reporter Cheryl Jones, she was on with us last night with two incredible stories. Just super, super reporter. She used to be with CNN years ago, and now she's into the paranormal in a very big way. Well, welcome back to Ghost, and let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. John's there for us. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, George. First of all, I can't believe I actually got through.
You on a night like this, too, so good job.
Yeah, actually, I'm just glad I got enough courage to call the number. I really don't call. And first of all, let me just say, if the great, great Art Bell will forgive me, I called the wrong number. I should have called the first-time caller line, too.
That's okay.
But, yeah, anyway, I'm going to try to, I had enough time to calm down and think about a few things over while I was on hold. And I mean, first of all, I remember you talking something about dreams and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Always. Sure.
Well, back when I was, I'm literally 1 year before 39. I'm 40 years old. I'm 39. And when I was, I want to say six, maybe around there, six or seven, because My memory's kind of fuzzy between the ages of, like, 7 to, like, 9. But anyway, when I was around 6 years old, I had this, like, weird dream that I was in a marriage. I was, like, all grown up, and I was in a marriage in the front row. And the wife that was coming down the aisle was my mother. And as I'm watching her coming down the aisle, I start looking over at the groom, and it's nobody I recognize. And I'm starting to try to, you know, lean forward in my chair in the dream to see who it is, I start floating up into the clouds. Yes, and it, what kind of makes a little freaky point to that dream was later on, my mother did divorce my father and left.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Now, was the groom in the dream your father? That you didn't know? Oh, he was not. Okay.
No, that's another spooky point.
So maybe this was the next guy she got involved with.
That's what really freaked me out a little later on was I started remembering that dream, and I was like, oh, man, maybe that was something that was like a little thing to count, something, one of them futuristic things or something.
At least he's not a ghost, huh?
Yeah. But now that was the dream. Now, when it comes to, like, real-life ghost freaky moments and stuff, here's one with me and my father, which, by the way, who's the guy who picks up the phone to begin with?
That's Tommy.
Oh, okay. By the way, thank you, and hello, Tommy. But I told Tommy that I just lost my father this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And one, your show was quite literally and figuratively one he constantly asked for me to check. What's he got on tonight? And, I guess I got to say, when it came to around the Halloween time, he was like, I'm not that interested in the spook stuff. And, well, it's real life thing, what I'm about to tell you is my grandfather, his father, had, I can't remember offhand, 4 or 5-way bypass heart surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, full-blown, let's join the zipper club, in and out, bub. But anyway.
And you've only got 7 arteries to the heart, so he had 4 or 5 of them replaced.
Yeah, the major, major ones. And I'm not joking, it's like the operation just started, apparently. So we're like, okay, me and my dad say it's going to be a long while, so let's hop in a car and drive around a while. So we drive around a while, and we eventually get to this Royal Farms. It's a gas station up in Maryland. And we pulled into the gas pump. We're in my grandfather's car. We're just parked at the pump because it's kind of a small station we're at.
Okay.
And there's not a lot of parking spots. And we just so much, we didn't really so much stop for gas as I think we stopped to kind of maybe get out and maybe get something to eat. And my dad, before we got out of the car, he looks at me and says, "You think we should put some gas in the car?" And I say, "I don't know. Maybe that's your call, Dad." And we get out of the car. He gets out of the car and shuts the door. And it's very important that I say this, that there was nothing touching the gas pump.
Okay.
No, nothing bumped it. There was no breeze. No nothing. It was not hanging half off the pump. My dad saw it fully. It was on the pump. There was no reason for it to do what it did. And what it did next was, as my dad got out, shut the door, second or two or three went by, the damn pump. Forgive me for saying the language here.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful.
Again, that's the only thing I will. The pump jumped off of the handle and hit the ground.
No.
Yes. My dad literally is just standing there with his head hung down, looking at the pump. I'm looking at not only the pump, but my dad. My dad looks right at me and says, "Tell me you saw that." I said, "Yes, I did." And the next thing he said was, "I guess we're putting some gas in the car." And then the last little part to that story was, my dad made absolutely sure that at the moment that pump jumped off the handle, he noted the time of the day down to almost the second, went back to the hospital, and it was almost, maybe a few minutes apart or whatever, was the moment they stopped my grandfather's heart.
Wow, and he died for a moment.
Yeah, that was it. But I'll tell you, thanks to the credit of Maryland hospitals and everything, he pulled through completely. But it was, honestly, it was just other little medical problems. By the way, don't get an angio-biplast.
And let me tell you, your dad's probably watching and listening to the show right now, and he's going, "Great, you finally made it on Ghost to Ghost." I love it. Thanks, John. Appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Stanley in Lancaster, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Stanley.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for checking in with us. What do you have for us?
Well, I'm a minister of a small country church.
Okay.
In the valley. And shortly after we moved here, one night I was working. Well, first of all, let me say this church building used to be an old one-room schoolhouse.
Okay.
And it's over 100 years old. And so I was working there one evening in my office, and the auditorium or sanctuary was dark, but my office kind of looked out onto the auditorium there. And so I was just studying away, and I heard this swishing sound. And I thought, well, that's unusual. And I looked up, and I just got a glimpse of a woman walking or kind of gliding down the aisle in kind of an old, kind of looked like a school marm or a old taffeta dress, white, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first thought, I never thought of it being a ghost, so I thought, well, someone's in the building here. I've got to find out how they got in here and what they want. So I went out, tried to see if I could find out what she wanted, but she, of course, was gone. And then after that, there'd be times when I'd go to the building, and there would be a smell of perfume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then sometimes there would be a cold spot that I'd walk through or walk near. And then I've had occasions where there'd be door slamming or things like that. So I kind of nicknamed her Laura. I don't know what her name was. I have heard a rumor that there was a legend of an old school marm in the past years that could have been her. But anyway, another night I was working there, and I started hearing a duck quacking. And it sounded like a toy duck. And so I followed the sound that went to a little classroom.
Like a little rubber ducky, huh?
Yeah. You know, like the old ducks were used to pull a string and let it go, and then it'd crack.
Yep.
That type of toy. And so I followed the sound into this room, then suddenly it stopped. But there was an old cupboard there that was locked, where we kept the toys for the little kids. So I got the key and unlocked it and went searching for the duck. I found it in a box. And so somehow that duck was quacking, so I always thought that was probably an entity that was doing that, maybe that schoolmarm or whatever.
Haunted in a friendly way, huh?
Yeah. And then I had a big old dog named Princess, and she loved to go to the church building. Sometimes I'd have to go over there at night. I might mention I moved my office from the church building to my home shortly after that first incident, but we'd go over there at night sometimes where I had to retrieve something. And so Princess loved, as soon as I unlocked the building, she'd start running down the aisle and just loved to go in there for some reason. But one night we went there and she stopped short and her ears cocked and she started kind of whining and she refused to go into that auditorium.
Ooh.
And then I had another dog after she passed away named Molly that also liked the door. She was a Rhodesian Ridgeback mixed with Black Lab. And we went over one time and in the kitchen area, there's a hallway that runs adjacent to the auditorium. So I was going down the hallway ready to leave the building. I called Molly, come on, Molly, let's go. And she usually would just run right down the hallway and ready to go out. But on this occasion, she just started shivering and whimpering. She laid down. She wouldn't come down that hallway.
Gosh, something that scared the living daylights out of them.
Yeah. And then she got up and scratched on another door, so I had to go there and let her out a different way. And then she was happy, you know, to be going home again. So,
but you never felt threatened there, right?
No, I never felt threatened. Now, I will say that I worked part-time at the airport, the Eugene Airport, and I was telling some of these incidents there with some of my workers. My supervisor said, well, we have a ghost hunting team. And I said, oh, yeah. And so he wanted to come out and explore that. So he and his wife came, and also another coworker who happened to be a Buddhist priest.
Did they find anything?
Well, we didn't see any apparitions or anything, but they had a camera, and they did take some pictures, and later they said there was some orbs that showed up in my office area. But in my office area, I had a stuffed koala bear that I picked up on a trip to Australia. My wife was from Australia. And it sat up on the top shelf of a bookshelf for years, and it was always there. But the day after the ghost hunters left, I went over to the building, and that bear was down on the floor. So I thought that might be an indication of some anger that...
like, leave us alone and quit investigating us. Sometimes that happens a lot, too. Ghost to Ghost, we've still got a couple more hours to go. And by the way, if there's any truck drivers with ghost stories, you folks see some strange things out there, like ghost hitchhikers and things like that. Share that story with us, too, when we come back. Next up, let's go to Don in Canada on the international line. Hey, Donald, go ahead.
How's it going?
Okay, how about you?
Oh, I just love your show. I watch it with Art Bell. And, I just find it very fascinating.
We kept the torch running with him, that's for sure.
My story, I travel around a lot, but I bought a house down in North Carolina back in 2006.
Okay.
It's a 1901 Queen Anne Victorian on 5 acres, about 5,000 square foot house. And I heard that people before heard piano playing up in the attic, and there's no piano in the attic, and had a girl jog by the house, a high schooler. And she said she saw an old lady peeking out the windows.
Whoa.
And another girl smelled perfume in the kitchen and said, who else lives here with you? And I said, nobody. I just lived there by myself. So she took some pictures of the house outside, texted to a friend of hers. And her friend said, "Who's the old lady looking out the window?"
Whoa.
Now, we didn't see it while we were standing in the yard, and the girl called her back and said, "There's some old lady looking out the window." Well, I never experienced anything until last spring. We had a tornado come through the houses north of Greensboro.
Hold the story right there, Don. We're at a break, but we're going to come back, and we'll pick it up right there when you tell us about the storm and what you saw. That's kind of spooky.